I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com and founder of One Life Tools. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz, Canada's unique podcast conversation that enriches lives, empowers careers, and energizes organizations. Today, I'm your Career Buzz correspondent, interviewing keynoters and speakers on site at the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association's 2018 conference in lovely Winnipeg, Manitoba. The CCPA aims to help practitioners and researchers who work in the mental health field. Joining me now is Julie Holden. Julie is principal at Holden and Associates, specializing in workplace mental health consulting. Julie's been an executive in the world of benefits consulting with SEB, Towers Watson, Morneau Chappelle, and others. Her focus is on disability management and employee benefits. As you'll hear, Julie has been consulting with the CCPA on the important topic of third-party billing. Julie Holden, welcome to Career Buzz.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
What do you like about your career these days?
Well, it's really interesting. I work with employers as they work to evolve their workplaces to make it a better place for folks to work at.
Nice. And what kind of skills do you use to be successful in that kind of work?
My specialty is in absence and disability management consulting, as well as workplace health, mental health consulting. So mental health is a huge problem for employers today, as it is in the general public, and access to care in particular is one of the issues. And so I work with employers to improve their benefit plans and their workplace initiatives so that their employees will have better access and be healthier and be able to remain at work and have an improved lifestyle.
Nice. So I don't know, imagine you came right out of school thinking, oh, I'll be a workplace health consultant.
That's right.
So what is one or two twists and turns that you can share with listeners that that brought you into this consulting work?
Yeah, I started out in the insurance industry, so I was in the claims department at two of the large insurers in Canada, heading up their disability claims operations, and then I moved over into the consulting world. So I worked at human resource consulting firms as a practice leader in two of those, at Willis Towers Watson and Morneau Chappelle, and then have evolved into wanting to have my own smaller firm, so thus Holden and Associates Workplace Health Consulting.
And how's it going after working for some really big employers to kind of open up your own shop? How's that been?
Well, I love it. I really liked my time at the big organizations as well, and I have many friends and colleagues still there. But I enjoy working with employers, at my own level, being able to be very personable and have that, you know, high touch approach. And so I'm really enjoying it.
If listeners are curious, you know, maybe we got listeners who are developing their own expertise in whatever area, and just that migration, because I know it happens a lot. People think, gee, maybe I could just go out on my own mm-hmm. and do this thing. Any advice for those folks who are thinking that thought?
Yeah, it's, it is a process, so there's lots to think about. But if you really want to, and you want to work with people, more directly, hands-on yourself, as opposed to part of a bigger team, then I encourage folks to do that. It's very rewarding, and I'm quite enjoying it.
You mentioned rewarding. I mean, people are always interested in how much money people make and how lucrative things can be. I imagine at your level, if you're a practice leader in big corporations, things are pretty good. How is the money in consulting?
It's a matter of getting clients, and so, you know, once you have clients, then off you go. It can be a little challenging in the beginning because people are used to you being at a big firm, and so it's all about relationships, I would say. So once people know you and are comfortable with you, then they want to work with you and they see your expertise, and then it goes from there.
How long does that take? What's your learning?
Well,
what's your,
it can be
growth curve?
You know, definitely up to, you know, a good year to get going, sort of back to where you were in the first place.
And how far are you into it?
Well, I've been working on my own for about 7 or 8 months now, and it's going quite well.
My guest today is Julie Holden from Holden & Associates Workplace Health Consulting. I'm your host here, Mark Franklin, on Career Buzz. So, Julie, we're here at the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association Conference. And in fact, this organization has hired you to do some work here. There's a really kind of special topic here. Can you just break it down and help listeners understand what is it? Why did the association engage you? And this question of third-party billing, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, the CCPA, the Canadian Counseling and Psychotherapy Association members, have a challenge in that when they provide their treatment and their care to their clients, they often put their receipt in, and it's not paid by the insurance industry. And so the issue is that the counseling and psychotherapy treatment is not included in the policy or the plan design for an employer, for employees of a specific company. It's not included in that as a benefit. So really what we're trying to do is raise awareness and educate employers, the consulting and broker community, as well as the insurance industry, to try to change that and make it improve the situation so people can provide this treatment and care. And there can be a continuum of care so that they can continue to work with their clients and not have the benefit cut off or not paid.
If we just shift this from the employee perspective, listeners may be employed, and they may have benefits programs. Often it's very confusing from an employee what's covered. There are employee assistance programs. So why should the individual employee care about this? What does it mean to them?
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes their care they're not allowed to continue with it. You know, they spend time getting to know a counselor or psychotherapist. They've built up a rapport and a relationship, and the care is moving forward. And then the payments don't go through, you know, for the therapist. And so that's problematic, and the person, unfortunately, would have to stop the treatment. And so that's why it's important to them.
Or pay out of their own pocket.
Absolutely, and sometimes that's not an option. So it really hits home for the employee. That's why they care, because they may or may not be able to get the treatment they need.
I mean, it seems sort of obvious. We had earlier on the show a few months ago somebody from the Mental Health Commission of Canada just talking about the impact, especially of mental health on the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I know the CCPA has been kind of sharing some of that information. Mm-hmm. The impact across Canada, how much it costs when people are off work because of mental health issues, and if there's help available, it seems kind of obvious that the dots should connect and employers or insurance companies should cover it. Yeah. So what's the problem?
It's really just a lack of awareness, and it's not anyone's fault. It's just really that the awareness has not been, the connection has not been made with the insurance companies and with the companies out there that are putting, providing benefits to their employees. They are familiar with psychologists, but they're not as familiar with counselors and psychotherapists, and who provide very similar care, if not better. They provide very good care and treatment, and they're very specialized. And so, again, it's a lack of education and awareness, and so we're here to try to change that.
I was surprised earlier listening to you and some of your colleagues present on this topic that sometimes it was simply a matter of awareness, and when you went and spoke to an employer or an insurance company, they said, oh, I didn't know, and they just automatically added this service to their list. Like, that seems kind of amazing that it was so far off the radar screen of certain people. Is that the recommended approach now? What is going to start working to support these initiatives?
Well, one thing I'm doing and we're doing together with the CCPA is reaching out to consultants, human resource consultants and brokers, and talking to them about the services provided by psychotherapists and counselors so that they have a much higher understanding of what's involved and the services that they can provide so that they can include that information and that benefit into the plan design. It would be great if it was as simple as that, as just talking to them and then they do it. I think over time that will happen, but these things are costly to change. They don't always change very quickly, and so it's a bit of a process, but hopefully it will happen.
you know, listeners, you know, on the one hand, it might be employed, and so they're thinking about what you're talking about from their employer's perspective. We have others who are interested in jobs, helping people. Right, and there's so many people who are interested in things that can help people, and we have counselors and coaches, we have psychologists. The coaching industry in particular seems, I don't know if you have information on that, because that coaching industry has got national or international standards compared to province by province standards for other things. Any, have you kind of compared and contrasted the counseling association with either coaching or psychologists or even physicians who are offering psychotherapy services? Because, for you know, how, what would, it's kind of bewildering if you wanted to be one of those helping professionals. Mm-hmm. What should you do?
Well, I mean, the CCPA, the governing body for the counselors and psychotherapists, have standards of excellence, and they have, you know, a lot of criteria that people have to meet in order to be a member. So in terms of comparing it, I think that there are a lot of comparisons that people can draw. You know, there's the privacy legislation, there's the consents that have to be in place, the file management, the level of treatment, the education, which is at a minimum typically master's level, the continuing education, and so I could go on. But there's an awful lot of parallels that can be drawn.
And finally, successes, like you've been at this now for a while. How long have you been working on this project?
It's actually not been too long. It's been about 6 months. And so part of that time has been laying the groundwork. We developed a really great infographic that has some really key information on it, as well as started some outreach to the consultant and broker industry and the insurance industry and some employers directly. So some of that work has begun, and we are starting to see some successes in that.
Gee, I mean, the infographic looks great, and congratulations on that. I mean,
thank you.
Things like by age 40, 50% of Canadians will have or have had a mental illness. That's huge.
Absolutely.
And the costs, like I've seen these figures before, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
$6 billion in lost productivity due to absenteeism and presenteeism.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. So if people are at work and, you know, they're struggling with a mental health issue, it would be great if they could have access to a counselor or a psychotherapist to prevent them from going off on a disability claim and to help them at work so that they are present at work. Absolutely.
Right on.
And yes, these numbers are staggering. Absolutely staggering.
Just to come back to the personal, Julie, you gave us a little bit of a personal story of your own career. And if listeners want to reflect on their lives and careers and thinking about what you've learned, right, because you've had your own twists and turns in your careers, in your career, anything that you can share with listeners about making your own decisions as you progress through corporations into your private practice?
Mm-hmm. Well, things evolve. You know, I've really learned that you may have a plan in place of what you'd like to do, and, you know, you're moving forward, and, you know, things evolve and change, and new opportunities come to light, and, you know, what I've done is I've followed those opportunities and then sort of taken my own twists and turns, and here I am. So, but it's not something often that you can plan and then your whole career is laid out for you. You go with the flow.
And trust that it will evolve, as you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. If people want to find out more, Julie, about you and your work, how do they do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, they can go to my website, which is holdenandassociatesconsulting.com, or they can email me directly at consulting.com.
And we'll have a link to that on our podcast page.
Okay.
Great. Julie Holden, thanks so much for joining us here on Career Buzz.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Career Buzz podcast. Find us on iTunes or visit careercycles.com/radio to subscribe and download past episodes. Get inspiring career stories full of twists and turns, actionable ideas from career experts, and new ideas to empower your own career in life.